We went to my happy place, northern New Mexico, Santa Fe, Taos, that area, the New Mexico mountains, the furthest south the Rocky Mountains go. And I just think it's so great up there. I can't spend enough time up there. The weather in the summer, like you experienced Georgia and Montana when you went there.
So nice.
It's summer in the mountains is the best.
Yeah.
Low humidity, highs around maybe 85, no mosquitoes. You can be outside all day and all night. It's just wonderful. And it gets down to 55 at night, not 85 like here.
It said 90 on my thermometer this morning.
Me too.
90?
That's our low. Well, what we've done the past few years since we have a young daughter is my wife and daughter will fly and I will drive. I am the pack mule and I will put all our bags and whatever we need for the 4 weeks in the car and then I drive up there.
Like we said before, you're an equipment manager.
Yes.
I've known those guys. That's a really tough job through the years, and they load up all the football equipment, and they head out before the team does.
Yes.
Team flies, they drive.
Yes. So our last day at work that Friday, I left right after the show was over, and I hit the road. I had the loaded car here at work and just took off. And it's a 10-hour drive. And my 10-hour road trip analysis, that first hour, you are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You are ready to take on the world.
Hitting the road.
Got your music cranked up.
Oh, yeah.
Second hour, you start to settle in, but you're still okay. Third hour, you get the dashboard warning, at least you do in my car. You've been behind the wheel for 2 hours. Please pull over and take a rest.
Wow. Okay.
And you start to feel a little fatigue. And you know, as it goes on, you get more tired and more tired. And hours 8, 9, and 10 are an absolute death march. Especially if you got up really early that day and went to work before your road trip, which I did. So I'm driving up 287, and I love that drive. I love going through those small towns. I know them all by heart now. I know where to stop, gas stations, restaurants. And it's wide open. There's no traffic. The biggest city you go through is Amarillo, so you're not really encountering any traffic and you can drive fast. But that Friday I was really tired because been getting up all week early, and the first couple hours were okay, but man, that third hour I could not keep my eyes open, and I was doing the old rest one eye, keep one eye half open.
So bad. You get the warnings of, I can't remember what the phrasing is on my truck, but it's like alert warning or
yes,
something like that.
Yeah. That was what I was talking about. You've been behind the wheel for 2 hours without a stop.
Oh, okay.
Maybe pull over.
But this is like your driving is like your...
Yeah, his monitors is lane position.
I don't get those.
Do you also have the cameras that are looking at your face that judge your tiredness that way?
Yeah, keep your eyes on the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do not
it's
have that.
So creepy.
And if I did, they would have been mandating that I pull over. Because I could not keep my eyes open. So I pulled over once.
Okay.
And it was a little truck stop, and I just parked it there, and I put my head back, and I fell asleep for about 10 minutes.
Sleeping.
Woke up, thought I was okay, got back on the road. 30 minutes later, man, I think I am approaching the town of Quanah, and I am I cannot keep my eyes open. And I had a rumble strip incident where, you know, the grooves on the side of the highway...
Yeah.
Where I couldn't keep my eyes open, and I hit the grooves. I thought, man, this is so dangerous. I'm gonna die here if I don't pull over.
Okay, so I know you want to get there, but because you are driving solo, are you to the point where you're thinking about breaking it up? Like, okay, I'll drive 5 hours one day and five the next?
Because the car was so loaded down, I didn't want to, and it's still early. You know, it's noon.
Yeah.
I got all day, and I don't want to unpack the car. So I pulled over again in Quanah, and I slept again for 10 minutes, and I got back out on the road, and I am still struggling to keep my eyes open. So I finally pulled over in Childress, and I got a cup of coffee. And I normally drink decaf these days, but I got a cup of caffeinated coffee. And at this coffee shop, I said, I need a small black coffee. And she said, we're running a little behind right now. It's going to take 20 minutes.
And one cup of coffee?
And I said, I see the dispenser right behind you. I'll do it.
Oh, no.
I promise you, it'll take me 10 seconds. And she goes, okay, I can do it for you. So I gave her a very handsome tip.
Oh, that's good.
So I got that cup of coffee. And since I haven't been drinking caffeinated coffee much lately, I felt like I was on speed. I mean, I was wide awake for the next 7 hours. You could not have had a human more awake than me on that caffeine. So I averted death. I kept driving up 287, went through Memphis, saw my favorite high school football stadium where the corner of the end zone is about 6 feet away from Highway 287.
So unstable.
Guess what? Hmm. For the first time ever, the gates were open.
Check it out.
So I pulled over and I walked into the stadium and I posted a picture on Twitter. You have to go back 4 weeks for this, but I got to see what the corner of the end zone looked like inside. Now, the field was not painted, so you can't see exactly where the corner is, but you get a pretty good idea, and it was crazy. I want to see a game there so badly.
So unstable.
Kept going close. On 287, drive through Amarillo, my birthplace. I didn't have time to stop and look at the statue. Kept going.
Statue.
And then west of Amarillo, you get into nowhere. There's nothing out there. And I'm watching my fuel gauge, and it said I had 60 miles of fuel remaining, and there were 30 miles to the next gas station in Vega. So I'm watching and I'm watching. Then it says 50 miles remaining, and now I'm 25 miles from Vega. Then it said 40 miles remaining, and now I'm 20 miles from Vega. And I'm doing the calculations here, and I'm realizing this is going to be really close. So I did the dumb thing that we all do. I went into glider mode. I gave it some gas, but then would glide as far as I could or get behind a semi.
That works. Get behind a semi, now that will affect it.
I did drafting, that a couple times.
That's good.
And I tried to glide behind the semi and draft, and I made it to Vega, but it said on my gauge I had only 10 miles to spare.
I'm ashamed to say that I've made it at least 5 miles on 0 miles to empty.
God, man, I wouldn't want to risk that.
I didn't want to either, but I was like, I had to.
You don't carry a jerry can with you just in case?
No. Probably should. Yeah.
I made it. It was close, but I made it. And I'm glad I pulled over in Vega because they're celebrating Route 66 there. And we talk about that on the podcast this week, the 100th anniversary of the Mother Road. And so I got to experience driving on old Route 66, and I looked at the big mural there, posted a picture of that as well. Eventually made it to New Mexico without incident that night, and we had the best time up there. My wife and I did some pretty serious hiking. Our daughter went to a day camp up there, and we got to do some bigger hikes than we've done in the past. And I posted some pictures of one of our biggest hikes on Instagram. And it's just so amazing to take what the Japanese call a forest bath, to get out there and you're out there for 4 hours and you're in the green. You're in these big ponderosa pines and aspens. One day we hiked up to this beautiful little lake up at 11,000 feet. One day we hiked up to a peak that was 12,500, and the 360 degree view from up there was just spectacular. You're above the tree line. Just had the best time hiking.
So did you set out to climb every mountain?
Yes, we did.
I saw that during the break, by the way, Sound of Music.
Oh,
did you?
Interesting.
Why?
Yeah, maybe I'll review it at some point.
Had some great bike rides. There's some wonderful trails, especially for mountain biking up there, which I don't get to do a lot of in Dallas-Fort Worth, but the mountain biking in the Santa Fe area is spectacular. Had an interesting thing that I ran into at a restaurant. I don't know if you guys have encountered this. Got the bill, and I saw on the bill it said 2% kitchen charge.
What?
I've never heard of this. Have you all?
No. Kitchen charge.
And it had an asterisk next to it, and at the bottom of the tab it said, this 2% goes directly to our wonderful kitchen staff.
Okay.
All right.
And it's not optional. And my first thought was, why don't you give your kitchen staff a 2% raise instead of passing it along to us?
Then putting it, why not put it into the prices of the food then already?
Sure.
Yeah.
Isn't that odd?
That is odd. That's the way they get you, so it looks like you're paying less for the food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just dawning on y'all now that you're going to have to cook food, and oh yeah, we got to put a kitchen charge in there. We're going to have to do some cooking back here.
It's actually pretty ingenious of them. Like, companies ought to start doing a 15% kitchen charge and then just advertise their really incredibly low prices for these steak dinners.
Yes.
This is unbelievable.
Yes. I found it ridiculous. I found it like the resort fee that you pay at a hotel for a stay. It's very vague what exactly you're paying for. And I do wonder if the kitchen staff gets that money.
Yeah, that's the other thing you wonder about.
We ought to start slapping on a listening fee to the podcast, perhaps.
Yeah. We had some funny kid moments with our about-to-be five-year-old, if you can believe that. She'll be five in a couple weeks. And when they get to be this age and this mobile and now this smart and crafty, routine things become interesting. Like any trip to the grocery store, she no longer wants to ride in the cart. She wants to walk around like a big girl. And it's hilarious. Every three steps, she'll grab something off the shelf, throw it in the cart, and say, "We need this."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's an industrial sized bag of Cheetos or something. Or walk a little further. We need
this.
Right
about that.
And she's just throwing things into the cart left and right. So
that's right.
Most of your energy is removing that from the cart and putting it back and say, "No, we don't really need this. We don't really need that.
We'll need another golden book."
We played a lot of hide and seek. She loves it, but she doesn't really get the concept. So when it's my time to go hide, she'll say, "Okay, you go hide, and I'll count," and she'll cover her eyes and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, okay, here I come, and I'm only three steps away.
Yeah, they don't count long, and they cheat like a son of a gun,
too. And then when it's her turn to hide, she'll say, "Okay, you come find me," and she'll go hide, and then when I say, "Okay, 10, here I come," she's hiding behind a sofa or something, and she's dying laughing. So I walk over, found you. You're making it easy when you're yelling and laughing. Or she will say, "I'm going to go hide behind the couch. Don't look there." Well,
okay, well, maybe she's just trying to throw you off. Maybe she's behind the chair.
Maybe she's playing 4D chess there.
But we had a blast with her, and we got to play outside a lot in the summer in the mountains.
It's not 150.
Yeah, which you can't do here. We can't play outside here from May to November.
No.
And we had live action. So there were reports all over that area, Santa Fe to Los Alamos to Taos, of bear activity. Uh-huh. Heavy bear activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very dry there the last two winters. They haven't had much snow, so there's not much snow melt. Not much runoff. A lot of the streams are dry. So bears are coming into towns to look for food and water. Go to the bars. One morning, head out to the street, and our trash dumpster was tipped over, and the trash bags torn open, stuff mushed and picked apart. It was clearly a bear. Never had this happen up there. A lot of reports in that neighborhood of bear activity. I was like, wow, this bear got after our trash. So I had this big cleanup on the street. Trash man comes that week. I roll the trash bin back to the house. And 2 days later, I had put one trash bag in the dumpster. It was next to the house. And that morning, walk out, and the dumpster had again been tipped over. But this time, the trash bag inside was completely gone. The bear, I guess, slung it over his shoulder and walked off with it.
Yeah, must have.
Took it somewhere.
Like a gunny sack. He made it into a gunny sack. Got a stick.
And he, and he was upright and ran away.
So last winter, my wife got me a trail cam for Christmas. So I put that outside in some trees near what looked like a game trail after the bear visits. I checked it, and I just posted this video of our visitor on X. So tell me, is that indeed a bear? Most likely the culprit tipping over our trash bins. Or is that Bigfoot?
Hmm. Well, I'm a wildlife expert, and I'm going to say that that is a bear.
Okay.
Okay, let me look at this.
Definitely not Bigfoot, because it looked like it could be Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's a that's a raccoon.
I think it's bigger than a raccoon.
I don't know.
Pretty sure that's
longer hair than a raccoon.
Is it set right down on the ground?
Yeah. I'm too lazy to actually put it on a pole or nail it to a tree or anything. But I get some good shots from there because you're looking downhill, so you get a lot of full body deer shots and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we had a bear creeping around the house outside multiple nights, getting into our stuff. I never came face to face with the bear, but caught a bit of him on the trail.
You never got in your car and actually was able to get it in gear, but didn't know how to start it.
Grinding them. That's not grizzly, right?
No, grizzlies don't come further south than Wyoming, I believe.
Okay.
This was a black bear, and they will go after you if the cubs are involved, but for the most part, black bears don't really want anything to do with humans. You can kind of scare them away.
Yeah.
But it's best that is live not action. To agitate. Yeah, so live action.
Yay.
So a few vacation stories from northern New Mexico.